kind of variety show.
Yes, and this agency had this show going in, I don't know how many cities across the country. Philadelphia had it for Snellenberg, and it was running in New York, and Boston, it was Washington, D.C. It was different, it was the same format. And so I, you know, got a job with that. And
did you work for Gimbel's or for them?
No, I worked for the advertising agency.
Oh my, wasn't that a nice thing to happen? How did you get the job?
Through Gimbel's. Gimbel's had hired them, and they told me that the man needed a actually a secretary. And so that's, he interviewed me, and I was hired, and my first week was the big snow in 1950, November. And I remember walking up to Ford Street and hitchhiking into town because I had to get to my job. And it was funny, I took shorthand because I had taken it at Pitt. That's what everybody had told me, all the graduates said, oh, you know, you have to take, get your foot in the door with typing in shorthand at that time, which is what I did. And I used it one day and never used it afterward.
Exactly.
But so the show was interesting and fun. Bill Brandt didn't last very long. And then they brought in a young comedian by the name of Orson Bean.
Oh, he became famous.
Who became famous. But he was so way out for Pittsburgh that it was unbelievable. And they hated him so and drove him out of town that I don't think you could mention Pittsburgh to him. It was, it's really funny when you look back to see, you know, at that time, how he was looked upon. And so he left, and then I think actually Joe Mann eventually took over.
Joe who?
Joe Mann.
Oh,
who
okay.
Was the, yeah. He and his wife Elaine were on the show. I think he took over. At any rate, the show was on for about 6 months, I think.
And what did you do for the, on that show?
Well, basically, I was in a sense like a production assistant on the show. And we had another woman who worked for us. She wrote the commercials and stuff like that. But I did all the, I was a gopher, all the odds and ends. So through that, I met Bill Adler, who had just started a TV magazine called Pittsburgh Television News, and he used to come looking for advertising from us. So when the show was canceled, I of course needed a job, and I started to look around, and I went to see Bill. And he had offices down on Penn Avenue, 923 Penn Avenue, which was really, in those days, was very seedy. And he and his wife were in one big room and had a twin desk. And when I went to see him, you know, I was, what are you here for? I said, a job. And you know, me, what did I know? I thought I was going to Time Magazine or Vogue. I didn't know, you know, you're young and you have visions of a magazine. And so at any rate, he said, he asked me my background, whatever, my education. And he said, well, you know, he said he could, they could use me, but they could just part-time. He said. So by then it was spring, and I thought, well, he said, you know, I said, thought, well, maybe that'd be nice for the summer. And just to work part-time.
She wasn't
part-time.
Too seriously about working. She's living at home.
Well, that was part of it. I
yeah,
was living at home.
Didn't have any rent problem.
You're right. It was nice and convenient. And so I thought, well, this sounds like a good deal. He had just started the magazine that week of the snow in November. And so he had just started this local television magazine, and with the programming from WDTV and WJAC in Johnstown, with hopes that there would be more stations coming very shortly. So anyways, I went to work, and I worked for 1 week, and then he said to me with my paycheck, he said, you know, I don't know how we got along without you.
Oh.
Which, to me, I guess meant so much because, you know, of feeling self-worth.
Oh, isn't that a lovely thing?
And I can't tell you what it meant to me. So he said, we still can't afford to pay you what you're worth, but we'd like you to be here, you know, coming every day. And then this magazine moved, you know, you'll go right with it, which certainly happened. And I did. I worked every day, and I did everything. I kept books. I was circulation manager. I did promotion. I wrote. I was a programming editor. I just did everything. It was just wonderful. It was a lot of fun, and they were really nice people. They were really like parents to me. And it was like working on a college paper. And it was very, really, it was exciting and watching it grow. It was, and we printed here, we did everything here. And then, of course, listen, let's face it, with television, it was exciting. It was a new media and the local scene. There was a lot of local stars, you know, and shows on the station. And it was a very exciting time in Pittsburgh. So, and the magazine just took off and really, you know, started to sell a lot. And so we were local until 1953. In 1953, Walter Annenberg bought up, there were various magazines, local magazines, that were, had been started across the country, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Washington, Boston, a few other cities. And he bought up New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago, and put them under the TV Guide name. And in the other cities where the magazines were doing well, he offered franchises. So we became a franchise, and we printed the local section, and they sent us what they called the wraparound, the national stories. So we did that for a number of years.
Did you purchase the franchise, or did you just manage it?
Well, he didn't purchase it. They, more or less, like whatever the agreement was. I mean, he didn't have to purchase it.
He didn't spend thousands.
No, because Annenberg wanted, instead of opening his own, he wanted it here.
Right.
So they just set up an agreement where they would get so much for the wraparound and whatever their promotion or whatever. It was a good deal. And don't forget, Annenberg's name was a very strong name at that time. So we felt, you know, that it was something that we had to do. And so the magazine just continued to grow. And and it was exciting for me. Then I became the editor.
So you were the editor of the Pittsburgh TV Guide, which was a national magazine. Or
TV Guide was a national magazine, once it became a national. And I was editor of the
Pittsburgh,
that's right, Tri-State Edition. We had also, as time went on, Pittsburgh Edition became very big, and we split it into three editions.
Oh.
We had a Youngstown edition, and we had a Wheeling-Steubenville edition. And we also had a Johnstown Altoona edition. And of course, we got more stations and everything. It all became larger. So we split. So I had three editions that I worked on. And of course, everything in those days was done manually with the printing. It was before computers. So it was a very detailed operation, the programming working with the stations.
Right.
But it was interesting. It was a lot of fun, and you met a lot of wonderful people. And you saw an industry growing up. You were part of it.
You were right there. Was Harold Cohen involved at all?
Harold Cohen was involved. He owned a part of the magazine.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote a column every week, and then he also interviewed some of the stars who would come here.
Mm-hmm.
He'd do some, you know, some local bios on
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, he was involved. And Bill and Harold had gone to Penn State together,
mm-hmm.
so they were fraternity brothers, and they were very close friends.
Mm-hmm. Did he, was he involved with it throughout his life? I thought he got out of it somewhere.
No, he didn't. He had it until they sold the magazine.
I see.
In 1961.
Is that how long it had been sold?
It went, yes, they sold the franchise
okay.
back because Annenberg gradually bought them all in.
I see.
He wanted it, and he bought it in, and I think it was 1961.
I see.
And then, so then I worked for TV Guide. In other words...
Oh, you worked for Annenberg.
See, I worked for Bill.
Oh,
see,
okay.
I worked for the franchise. First of all, I worked for him locally, and
right.
I worked for him even until he sold.
Okay.
In 1961.
Right.
And then he stayed on as a manager for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And then he and Rachel moved to New York.
Uh-huh.
And so I stayed on, and I stayed on as the editor.
I see.
And so I said I got sold with the franchise.
Oh, wasn't that exciting? You were then really with a big company.
So now I was with, yes, now I was with TV Guide, and of course,
uh-huh.
those were very, I mean, those days were just very exciting because we were the talk of the industry, the publishing industry. There had never been a magazine to reach so many people, like 42 million people.
Exactly.
And so we were the largest selling weekly magazine in the world. And it just mushroom. And so it was, you know, it was really, you know, we were on top.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very, very nice, and I enjoyed my position. However, you know, at that time women were kept back as far as moving ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of bided my time, but I let them know that eventually, you know, that I was interested in management, and so, you know, as time would go on, hoping that one day I would get into something. And eventually when it did open up, I did, you know, I became from regional editor, then I also went into promotion. I became a promotion director here. And then that prepared me in 1977. They decided women would take a chance with a couple of women, and so I was one of the ones chosen to be a manager out here in Pittsburgh. And it also entailed selling advertising, so
mm-hmm.
that was a whole new responsibility for me. But I had made connections with all the people. I knew everybody in Pittsburgh
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with the station. So,
mm-hmm.
It really was very easy for me.
Uh-huh.
And the people at the agencies. And so...
you had networked.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So I kind of grew into it, and so I was ready for it. And I really... you know, I did well with it, enjoyed it, and was very successful with it.
Mm-hmm. How long did you work for them?
I worked till 1989.
Oh.
When, in 1988, Rupert Murdoch purchased
okay.
TV Guide,
mm-hmm.
the News America, and he kept the office open. I guess it was about a little over a year. And then he began to close some of the offices, and Pittsburgh was one of the ones that was closed.
Mm-hmm.
So he, I was paid well to leave,
mm-hmm.
and I was happy at that time because, frankly, by then Rachel Adler had died,
mm-hmm.
And Bill was living in New York alone, and we'd always had a friendship, I mean, because I was like part of the family, and I used to visit them occasionally. But it became more of a friendship, more than a friendship as time went on. And we began to spend more time together, and so this afforded us the time to be together more and also to travel more. So I would say all during my life, I did extensive traveling when I was with the magazine.
Where would you travel, Rita?
For the magazine? Oh,
not for the magazine.
Oh. No, for myself.
Oh, you traveled.
I traveled for myself. No, for the magazine, I was just in the tri-state area.
Okay.
I'd go up to Altoona or Wheeling or whatever.
Right.
But, being single, I had, I enjoyed traveling, so I took advantage of all my time, and I had traveled to Europe many times, been to the Orient. I traveled extensively.
I think that's how you came to know Shirley and Leon.
Yes, I met some of my nicest friends, best friends I met on trips. Phyllis I met in Amsterdam. So it was, I always enjoyed traveling, and I felt, look, I took advantage of the time, and of course I lived at home, so my expenses were not that much. And so I really, I would say, made the most of my life in that way. And I also, I had a lot of hobbies. I became a Chinese cook. I loved cooking. Yes, I took up cooking and took all a lot of courses from Anna Cao, who was prominent in those days as a cooking teacher. And I enjoy cooking, and I'm a golfer. I enjoy golf.
Where do you play?
I play at Westmoreland Country Club. And so this all was part also of my job. It all became part of, you know, the entertaining with the Chinese and, and the golfing.
You mean that you would entertain people in your home? And
sometimes, or else we'd go out to Anna's restaurant.
Oh, sure.
And after we would go to Steeler games and after have celebrations out there. But in the magazine, as I say, it was a very exciting career to watch a baby grow from the beginning.
It's really wonderful.
And to be a part of it and be a very, very integral part of it. I have met all the, you know, top people. Mr. Annenberg used to come to our meetings.
What was he like? Can you describe him?
Well, those days, I was only in his early days. He was a very, very nice, pleasant man. He and his wife came to the meetings. And,
he was ambassador to England.
That's right, yes. Well, then he went on. When he became, you know, up there, we didn't get to see him
as often.
It was in the early days. But it was a very, very good organization to work for. And
was he a good, how would you describe him as an employer?
Well, he was a very strict employer, and he was very much above everyone. I mean, you know, it was, once he became ambassador, they called him the ambassador. You know, he was always, there was, you know, he and then there was all of us.
Okay, he lived in a kind of rarefied.
Yes, oh yes, very much so.
I see.
And he ran it with an iron rule. He was very much part of the...
so he kept control.
Oh, very much so. And he had good people, and it really didn't change very much, the staff.
Okay.
And we in Pittsburgh didn't change our staff. We really had a very, very nice staff. And it had been larger when Will was there because we had circulation. We did a lot that we didn't do later on.
Because the... The larger
yes, when they took
business
over,
took care
yes,
of that.
They took a lot of that away from us. But in the young days, we must have had maybe 20, 25 employees. And so it was, I mean, just watching television in Pittsburgh grow was really a very, very good
thing.
Yes, it was. And to see it now, it's, you know, it's, all of that has changed, so because all that local is gone, and you know, the creativity for anybody who's young really is—it's difficult to get started. And,
I see that.
For instance, when I went to look for a job, I knocked on doors of advertising agencies and just went in and just asked for whoever was on the door. Once I asked for a dead man.
Oh, well, talk to the rabbi, find out how to get in touch with them.
So, today, with your resumes and all that, yeah. Well, I was fortunate in those days, you know, it was always a say, it was very naive and innocent.
Of me.
Yes. Uh-huh. But I also did help an awful lot of people to get jobs in Pittsburgh. I ran like a little employment agency out of my office when you talk about networking, because I knew a lot of people, and so a lot of people would send their children to me or would mm-hmm. hear of me through mm-hmm. someone. And I did help a lot of people to get jobs in mm-hmm. Pittsburgh in the industry.
What made you decide to go into the advertising? You were a psychology major. How did you?
Well, I decided that I didn't want to go on.
Right, I understand that, but why advertising?
Well, I guess I had an English minor, mm-hmm. and I was, I would say, a bit creative, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know, of what would I like to do as far as where mm-hmm. I could see myself. Mm-hmm. And I could see myself going into advertising and being creative in some way.
And it worked. And, it was absolutely a good assessment.
So it did work. Mm-hmm. And I just, it became very, very natural for me mm-hmm. and the whole surroundings.
You felt comfortable in it.
I felt comfortable
with
day one. And as I say, I was fortunate where I really got situated with Will, because we just had it was a nice setup and a nice environment, and it was creative and gave me a lot of room for creativity and promotion, mm-hmm. different things, and we were very active at that time, worked very, very hard, put in a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. And we used to go to press Friday nights, and I would never get home until 9-10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. But it was exciting, and I didn't know that life could be any different. I used to kid Will that I didn't know what the word overtime mm-hmm. meant, you know, and it was amazing to me after we went with TV Guide, you know, and then we started to hear about, you know, how people took hours off because they worked other mm-hmm. hours, and got overtime pay, and I kind of laughed, you know, because we just never knew about
that.
No, I never thought about things like that.
Uh-huh. Well, have you done anything in the community at all? Have you had time to contribute?
Well, I worked with UJF when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I guess mainly it was with UJF. I'm trying to think. I think I have been active in, when I was younger, I did, when I was going to school, I worked out at the Home for the Aged. Mm-hmm. I did mm-hmm. some community work out there when mm-hmm. I was younger. Mm-hmm. But then I did some things with UJF. And mostly, I would say, was more active with organizations with my job.
With your career.
Yes, mm-hmm. in the Pittsburgh Radio and TV Club, uh-huh. the uh-huh. Women's Press Club, mm-hmm. and the Pittsburgh Advertising Club. Mm-hmm. And so I was more active with that. I was really very, very much involved in my job, and it took a great deal of time.
Oh, I can imagine. Enormously time-consuming.
It was very consuming, very time-consuming,
right.
Very demanding. And
probably when you weren't working, you were thinking.
Well, yeah. That's true.
I mean, when you weren't actually there, right?
So, I mean, when you think of, in those days, it was all growing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, today it's just pretty much everything's in place. Well, there mm-hmm. was another thing. We went on to computer, and that was a big adjustment, too, mm-hmm. in the programming. for me, you know, after many, many years of doing things manually,
right.
we had to learn to put the programming on computer. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big adjustment.
I can imagine.
And learning that was a big job. Mm-hmm. But I think that was the secret to my success with my career, was that I was always, my father had a saying, the only thing that's permanent in life is change. Mm-hmm. And
you were willing to.
And I always looked ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the computer came, I mean, I was not one to fight it and say, I can't or I won't, whatever. I just felt it's not, you know, this is what you got to learn and you do it. And it was the same way when, you know, came to doing sales, selling.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole new area to me, and I just, you know, thrived with it. And got
did you do it, or did you hire people to do it?
No, I did it.
You did it.
Oh, yes,
that
I
a big job.
Did. So I handled big accounts in Pittsburgh. I mm-hmm. handled Heinz, Stouffer's,
mm-hmm.
and Alcoa.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some big accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And that too, I was fortunate with each job, you know, they were varied and I grew with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I never got a chance to be bored.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I got a whole picture of Pittsburgh from the beginning with the media, to see how the media worked, to see the radio, TV.
3 minutes, okay. And, we have another tape.
Okay. So it was an exciting time.
And you were there.
And I was there. And right. I don't think now it is. I mean, I think now, that even just talking to most people, it's pretty much a pattern.
Uh-huh.
And and so little is done locally.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything is pretty much, you know, set by the network or mm-hmm. the owners. You
right.
know, you're all part of a big conglomerate.
Yeah.
And so it's been interesting.
You were at the right time,
at the right place,
at the
right
time, with the right talent.
And really, that's yeah. it. And you know, it was I was very, very fortunate.
Good. We could finish, or would you prefer that we come back?
I can finish with you.
You want to finish? Have you time?
Oh, yeah.
You want to change the tape, or are we not? We still have?
We have 3 minutes.
We have 3 minutes? Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask you, and maybe I'm being a little redundant, but if they ask how do you view your accomplishments and successes, I think you have a very positive feeling about what
oh,
you
yes.
accomplished.
I have a very positive, and I okay. think in many respects, and frankly, as a woman,
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, first of all, never having married,
mm-hmm.
I was viewed, I think, you know, when you were younger and not married, you know, and I'm sure you're aware in the days where you weren't given much credit for it, people looked at you like, why?
What's wrong?
What's wrong with
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt, look, I was going to live my life, and not that marriage wasn't something that was nice and wonderful, but if I tripped over somebody, it was going to be fine.
And you did, ultimately.
I was going to live my life
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't going to spend my life looking for a man. Well, then it turned out in recent years where I'm being credited now for being the original women's lib, and I kind of laugh at it when somebody said to me, you know, a number of years ago, you were the original women's lib, you know, that you didn't believe the tale of the, you know, white picket fence and
mm-hmm.
live happily ever after. Why didn't you? And I didn't. So I think that it's funny now, you know, that all of a sudden it turned around. And
they admire.
Admiring mm-hmm. me for what I really didn't do anything consciously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I do think that, you know, I, you know, advanced a lot for women.
You did.
And opened the field up. Of course, today, listen, if I were in the field today, you'd find so many women publishers
mm-hmm.
and the heads of magazines and everything.
Right.
So I
great.
Really could have gone on, you know, if I were younger.
Right. I just have a few more things
right.
to add.